Off the ball. Rugby.
Then all we'll never know until we play. We know on the evidence of play well for your province, play well in Europe, play well in the URC, consistently back it up for a couple, four, five, six matches. And then people go, give him a go.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball. GAA.
All right, time for us to look forward to the start of the Centra Camogie Leagues, which get underway this weekend. But before all that, we got to talk to one of the best players for the last 20 years or so, winner of six All-Ireland titles, but his call time in her Cork career, Laura Tracy. Laura, how are you keeping?
Good, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How is retirement settling for you so far?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question at the minute. I think everyone's asking me, but it's a bit strange, I'm not going to lie. The last few weeks, though, with messages and phone calls coming from near and far and ex-players on other teams and current players on other teams has been really nice to see. And I'm enjoying it so far. But I think once the games are back this weekend and, you know, Cork start competing again, that's probably going to be the tough one, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you might eventually make peace for the far side. The thing is, you couldn't have got more from your career. You know, when you come into this team as a teenager, straight into an All-Ireland winning side, and then, you know, lucky enough with injuries, I think for the best part over the decade plus that you're in the Cork jersey, it gave you an awful lot. At least that maybe makes it easier to make the decision.
Absolutely. And even just looking back on my career over the last few weeks, you know, I suppose loads of memories start popping back up and chats that you start having with players and stuff and pictures being sent. And I can only be forever grateful for my career in a Cork jersey. You know, I played against the greats and with the greats. And, you know, when I was a child and my goal being to play in a Cork jersey at some point, God, she'd only be delighted with the way it finished.
Yeah, it must be remarkable, though. Like, some of the players that are around you when you're coming in, like, I think effectively you replace Anna Geary, you've got, like, Jem O'Connor, you've got all the greats throughout that team when you come in as well. So even if you're the youngster of the side, like, what a group of players to be coming into.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Cork Camogie as a whole is a very special place, you know, and there's huge standards and loads of history. And I suppose I came in at such a young age and learned so much at a young age, which probably stood to me throughout my career and probably made me into the player I became from getting that experience when I was, you know, 16, 17, 18, learning from those types of players that you mentioned. I can only be grateful for that.
Is it difficult to step into a team that's going that well into that defence when you're so young? Or had your experience with, say, the underage teams 14 and 16s in Cork helped? Or what was the adjustment like when you went into the panel?
Very welcoming, but I suppose I knew what was expected from me very early on. Like, never did I dream of probably starting in 2014. You know, I was just really happy to be there at such a young age and getting all that exposure. And I suppose I got a few league games in 2014 and did okay, you know, did what it was expected from me and kind of continued to get a starting position. And it kind of happened, I guess, without me even realizing it, just went out, did my job, did what was expected and asked of me. And then my career then grew on from there.
Yeah, because you're coming into a team, you've got that kind of iconic decade that's just gone before you. So you know the expectation straight away is that you're coming into a team looking to win an All-Ireland Championship, which can't be the easiest thing to do. You know, sometimes players like to come in under the radar a little bit and feel their way into it. But it's sink or swim if you're coming into that defence as a teenager and you know the expectation that's on the side.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess there's, like, I have to be really grateful for the management that were there. Like, they obviously put their trust in me, which allowed me to grow as a player quite quickly. And the players around me, you know, you'd Aoife Murray in goals. And, you know, there was Pamela Mackey. I remember she played wing back in front of me in 2014, and Gemma Anagiri. So I was surrounded with really experienced players, which is always going to help you. But yes, it was kind of sink or swim. But at the moment, like, when I was in that moment in time, I guess I didn't really realise that was the case. But looking back now, I was given a huge opportunity at such a young age. And, you know, I don't think it happens as easy these days. So, forever grateful for the management, I guess, at that moment in time for putting their trust in me and allowing me grow into that into the jersey, I guess.
Yeah, look, we all live in the moment. Maybe it's even after a while after retirement, you look back and you go, wow, you know, kind of what a decade plus that was in the Cork jersey for you. I was reading in some of your interviews that you did locally over the last few weeks, you were saying that one of the frustrations were that maybe over the last year and a bit, you weren't quite training to the level that you were at. So what was the reason that you felt you weren't meeting the level you wanted to be at?
Yeah, I guess I was extremely lucky for the many years I've played with Cork not to have very serious injuries, I guess. And over the last year or two, I suppose maybe it's mileage, we'll call it, rather than old age. But, you know, there had been a few niggles kind of came my way last year. And they were difficult, I guess, to deal with. And I was that kind of a player, I guess, who always wanted to be on the pitch, always wanted to be training and trying to be the best version of myself. And it kind of became a little bit trickier over the last few years with injuries. So not that it was the major factor in calling quits, but it probably was one of the factors, I guess, that I had to think about and think about hard whether it was going to be a case of me going back or not.
Had the demands increased for intercounty camogie as well? Because in Cork, you were driving standards when it came to the physicality. Don't get me wrong, Galway, Kilkenny, some other counties have been doing that as well. But had that actually made it more difficult in the last few years, just the intensity of everything?
I think, personally, I didn't really feel like I was lagging behind, physically or anything like that. But has the game grown? Absolutely. Since I first got involved, in 2012 and where the game is at now, they're nearly two completely different games, you know, I guess. The standards that the GPA have held, that there has to be an S&C, for example, at sessions, you have to have your physio, you know, all those things are obviously going to grow the game. And the game has massively grown over the last few years, especially since, I suppose, the GPA and the WGPA kind of joined as one and just became the GPA. The minimum standards that they're expecting from counties to provide to the players, and the funding then that comes from Sport Ireland has only risen the standards in the game. So yes, has the game completely changed in the time that I've been playing? Absolutely. But only for the better.
You've always been a leader and advocate when it comes to those standards for players and the players around you on the panel as well, because even the GPA and the Women's GPA statement that went out on your retirement, they were saying that you were tireless in your advocating for the players and getting the best for everybody. And I remember being at an All-Ireland launch a few years ago where you were on one of those round tables, we're doing them on Zoom, and you were very much talking about the standards you should have been expecting. You spoke very eloquently, I felt, around the Scorts debate and the fact that Cork, if that Munster final had happened, wouldn't have went back in the dressing room and come back out in shorts. So you obviously felt that always you wanted to lend your voice to things throughout your career as well.
Yeah, lend maybe being a kind word there at times. I suppose it was just I've been involved with the GPA for quite a long time. I was representative for Cork Camogie, and it's just something, I guess, that I feel quite strongly about. Women's sport, the support around it, those minimum standards. And yeah, I was probably caught up, but willing to be caught up in a few things over the years, like the Scorts and shorts and stuff. So yeah, the game has grown massively. Is there more to come for the sport? Absolutely. I've already had a little chat with Gemma Begley in the GPA. If there's anything that I can do to continue to help the sport grow, that's where I want to see it, you know, and the integration being obviously something that's coming down the line. So maybe behind the scenes a little bit more, hopefully I'll help out a little bit with that. But yeah, it's just something I felt so passionately about, and just supporting women in sport. So yeah, I didn't hesitate at times to voice my opinion on things, I guess.
No, for sure. When it comes to integration, I didn't think we were necessarily going to talk about this, but are you still confident it's going to happen? Because the closer it seems to get to the proposed date that Mary McAleese had given, there are people that pour a little bit of cold water and say maybe that's too soon and maybe it can't happen. Do you feel that integration is still progressing right now?
I think she's absolutely right to set a date, because I think if she moves that date, you're going to be continuously chasing the date anyway. So I think what just needs to happen over like the next year or so, you know, is continue to push for that date. Yes, okay, everything may not be perfect and you may have to push that date out 6 months, but I guess the easy thing would be is to push it out an extra 2 years or push it out another 2 or 3 years, and then you're chasing that date. So I think she's right to hold the date and to continue to chase that date. Whether it happens before or on that date is another thing, but you have to strive for it. If you're going to continue to push out the date, well, then everything will continuously be pushed out, you know. So I think she's right to hold the date. From what I'm aware, there is plenty happening behind closed doors to make that happen, and long may that continue.
You've said the injuries will probably determine your playing with Killa at this point. I can only assume at this stage that the song that you guys play in the dressing room is Kingfisher, or is everyone else now stealing your song and you don't get to use it yourselves?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think if you said before, if you asked me, you know, where it's from, I would have first of all said, you know, Killa, and then people would have been kind of wondering where that was, and I would have finished the sentence with, I went to school in Middleton. Whereas now if you say Killa, I think you don't even, it doesn't even have to be in Ireland. I think if you were elsewhere in the world, I think they'd nearly know where Killa is at this point. But my cousin is actually in the band as well.
A cousin in the band. That means we're burying the lead story here. Does this not mean when a Christmas number one has happened and a song that seems to be number one from summer the year before, are your family getting any of the royalties from this?
Yeah, they're having a great time. My uncle and aunt are getting a great kick out of it as well. He's newly retired, so they're kind of following him around to plenty of concerts and stuff. And I've been to a few myself, probably not half enough, but now that retirement is on the cards for me, I think I'll have a little bit more time to kind of support him as well. So, no, it's great.
Also, a beautiful song. So many communities would be envious around the country that doesn't quite maybe get a song that actually emphasises place and tells such a lovely story of the place as well. Forevermore, even when the hype dies down about this song, Killa will always have a beautiful song written about it now.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And it's so relatable as well, I guess. And look, it has been played plenty of times inside in our dressing room, and I'm sure plenty of times to come and years to come. So, it's fantastic.
So, I believe you were a nurse for quite some time, but are you going back doing sports nutrition now?
Yeah, so I was nursing for over 5 years, and it was kind of this time last year I decided to take a career break. It just reached a point where I wasn't really too sure if it is exactly what I wanted to do or not. So I took a career break to have a think about it and worked a lot with the GPA to kind of figure out what I wanted to do and some personal development and stuff, and came to the conclusion then nutrition and kind of sports nutrition kind of kept coming back up, and an opportunity came my way to join a master's in September. So I've dived into that and given up the nursing career for now.
Right. Given you would have had a massive interest in all that when it came to your own nutrition during your career, is that what maybe kind of pushed you in that direction?
Yeah, I think so. I think I worked with a few performance nutritionists in my time through playing sport. And I guess from a young age, when I started to think about it, I was massively into food and I love cooking. And my mom was always really good to have vegetable patch out the back garden, and it was probably just part of my life, I guess, you know. And when I really thought about it, and nutrition being something that I really like, and then obviously with a massive interest in sport and not just GA, I'd watch any type of sport. It was kind of putting two and two together, and I'm really enjoying the course so far. Yeah, it can be tough some days, as a master's is, but yeah, I think I've gone down the right path for me at the moment anyway.
Well, best of luck with it. Let's talk about your old teammates who are going to soldier on this year after the disappointment of what happened in the All-Ireland final against Galway and all the drama of last year. Cork this year, Laura, aren't going to have dual players. This has been such a kind of contentious issue now for such a long time. You know, weekends that were overlapping and your girls were having to decide between one or the other. Did it kind of inevitably come to a point that they were going to have to focus on either ladies football or camogie?
I suppose two of the girls have gotten a massive opportunity to head to Australia with Hannah and Aoife, and an opportunity, I guess, that is really hard to turn down. So that took from them, I suppose, they're gone from both camogie and football and will be a massive loss from both. And then Libby was the one that was left, and like she had an injury there a few years ago, I guess, that probably not forced her into a decision, but you know, the demands of the sport that we spoke about earlier, and you know, camogie and football and the hours that have to be given, probably maybe helped her make up her mind a little bit around it all. Probably a really difficult decision for her, because I'm sure she loves them both equally, but decided to wear the Cork Camogie jersey this year, and I'm sure the camp will be delighted to have her around full time.
Yeah, I always appreciate what they tried to do on weekends when there were overlaps, and sometimes they were on the same day, and I remember all the appeals to try and maybe make a break weekend to allow them to have a little bit of extra time, because there were times when there were like five or six players that were across both panels, but it was a remarkable commitment those girls gave for that quite considerable period of time.
Yeah, incredible. Personally, I don't know how they did it. I suppose they didn't know any different. They did it from such a young age. And like, in fairness to the management in Cork Camogie, throughout the years, always allowed it to happen. We're very supportive of them. Like, you know, going back with like Breege and Rena, and then Aoife, Hannah and Libby, like being the next generation, I suppose, of dual stars after them. Like, the commitment that they gave to both was incredible, and like how they did it, I'm not really too sure, but in fairness to the management and to the girls themselves, they were always about both camps, and both camps were very, very open, I suppose, to communicating with each other and sorting kind of trainings for them and stuff as well. So you need that support. You know, I don't think it would have been possible if one camp was not supportive, obviously. So in fairness to the management teams over the years that I've been there as well, they were extremely supportive in Cork.
2025, when I think back about the season, I think about all the drama, the All-Ireland final, and we got that thrilling crescendo. I know you would have hoped that Cork would have been on a different side of the result, but last year seems in some ways to be just so kind of defined by how long the Scort controversy dragged on for, particularly it felt like nearly from the end of the league through all of the provincials, destroyed the Munster Provincial Championship, of course, and then it was still kind of hanging till the start of the championship, and it was just, it kind of defined the year. Would you like now, as a supporter of a team and as an onlooker, that actually we can all just focus on the action on the pitch for 26?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the standard of the game, as I spoke about earlier, has risen over the last few years. Girls are physically stronger, the game is getting faster. All you'd hope now is that it will stop becoming negative media, I guess, around the sport, and it becoming much more positive. You know, having the articles in the papers, having like televised and streamed games as much as possible, and let's try and grow the sport to where it should be, because it's a phenomenal sport to be involved in, and it will excel once there is a backing there.
Particularly a couple of interesting games in Division 1A this weekend, which I'm intrigued to get your view on. Cork going across to play your neighbours Waterford. You know, Waterford again were just so disappointed not to get over the line and get back into an All-Ireland final last year. But you know the talent that team have. You know how much they relish probably taking on Cork in the first round of the league as well. That should be a really good game at Walsh Park on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Waterford have unbelievable players, and have done over the last few years. They've challenged us numerous of times throughout the league, Munster Championship and Championship itself, and other teams as well. They have a lot of young girls coming through, and like, Camogie is in a really good place down there. So it'll be a massive battle for Cork going down to Waterford this weekend. I know there's a few girls who aren't available for Cork just to begin the season, but I guess that allows for younger girls to take that opportunity and see what they're made of, you know. So I'm sure Ger Manley will be heading down with his backroom team, you know, giving girls opportunities this weekend, and just hopefully they put up their hands, you know, and fight for that jersey.
Will you make the trip across, or is it tricky when you're so recently after stepping away?
Yeah, I hope to make it down. I was only speaking to our sports psychologist from last year, and he said, you know, when the games start, that'll probably become harder. But I plan to attend all games at the minute. I'll probably be the number one supporter in the stands. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one watching from the stands, but hopefully Cork come out with a victory anyway.
I'm not sure this is any help, but Martin Fogarty, the former Kilkenny selector, said to Paul Murphy, who is a co-host on my podcast, he said, the first game that you go to, Murph, make sure you bring a few people with you. He said the most difficult thing when you've just after retired is that you'll get to the park and naturally almost muscle memory will kick in and you'll want to walk in the player's entrance. He was like, bring a few people with you, keep the chat away, then you won't feel that melancholy maybe that you'd feel going into the stand as opposed to going down to the pitch itself. So if you have a few mates to bring along, bring them with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And my mum and dad will be missing Camogie probably as much as I will. So they'll be attending all the games as well. So it'll probably be a family day out for the next few games anyway.
By the sounds of it, they didn't miss too many of your matches during your career.
No, they, like I've said this in a few interviews over the last few weeks, like, I guess when you step back from it and realise what people have done for you, you know, I've mentioned a lot of managers and coaches, and I have to mention my parents as well, like, only for their support at a young age and always being at, you know, club games, school games, bringing me to trials, and my sister in the back car with me as well. But yeah, only for them, you know, being so supportive, I suppose I probably wouldn't have become the player I was. And yeah, I can only be forever grateful for their support around it all.
Yeah, it's a lovely thing to be able to share with them, the kind of those lifetime family memories that will be always associated around the games along the way. Galway against Kilkenny, Ballinasloe on Saturday as well, 2 o'clock start. Niamh Mallon was talking to us at the launch of the league earlier this week, and she was saying their determination now is to try and go back to back, and that's what it's all about. Maybe it's not necessarily about the league for Galway, but they want to make sure that they're back at the level they were last summer again. So how do you think Galway are going to start the league? Difficult enough fixture with Kilkenny to start.
Yeah, I assume that Cathal Murray and his backroom team are going to give plenty of those under-23s who won the All-Ireland last year a chance. You know, I do think that the way that the league is set up, I guess compared to the hurling, you kind of have a little bit more of an opportunity to give younger girls a chance and trial a few things out. So I expect that from most teams this weekend, you know. That's probably what a lot of teams use the league for. But it's also important to get wins, you know, and start building that momentum. So I can expect that Galway will probably have a few younger girls starting at the weekend against Kilkenny, and Kilkenny as well. But, you know, there's probably going to be a few experienced girls just to hold the ship as well and, you know, to guide those younger girls through these games. So, yeah, that will be an interesting game on Saturday as well.
The other game in the top flight then, Tipperary go to Antrim. Antrim have been operating in the Intermediate Championship. So Tipperary, I guess Tipperary will be expected to win on the road in that one?
You would expect so. But again, like Antrim, this is where they want to be. These are the games that these teams who are growing and trying to promote the sport, I suppose, in their counties want to be involved in. So you'd expect Antrim to go out and give it their all, but you would expect Tipperary probably to come over the line there.
Yeah, the game's in 1B then, just to round off the fixtures this weekend. You've got Limerick against Down is going to be in Capamore at 2 o'clock on Saturday. You've got Dublin against Clare is going to be on the first pitch, the grass pitch in Abbottstown. And Wexford against Offaly. Offaly moving back up from 2A is in Enniscorthy. All of those games in Division 1B are at 2 o'clock on Saturday as well. Laura, it's been a pleasure. I hope it's a nice watching experience. First one back at the weekend for Waterford against Cork. And thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.